Good morning and greetings to each one in Christ's name. Good to see everyone here this morning. For our devotional this morning, I thought I would speak a bit on perspective. And so turn in your Bibles to Psalm 73. Psalm 73, I'm going to read the first portion of it, make some comments, and then read the second portion, make some comments. So verses 1 through 15, I think I'll read that first. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than their heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world, they increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. So we have here kind of a gloomy picture. He starts out the psalm recognizing the goodness of God, and truly, we can never overemphasize that. God's goodness to his people, his promises, his provisions, his mercy, his love and care, his judgments and discipline and more are all evidences of God's goodness. So we have to remember that. We can't overemphasize God's goodness. But then it seems like discouragement really set in for him. His focus gets away from God and and gets on to people around him. He starts comparing his situation with others. So what happens when discouragement sets in? Well, I don't know what it looks like for you, but for the psalmist here, he got his focus off of God and onto the people around him. He started comparing his situation with the ungodly, the wicked. He said, the wicked are in prosperity. They apparently don't have any troubles and trials that I do. They are proud and violent, and yet they live luxuriously. They speak blasphemously against God. They don't hide their wickedness. They are quite open about it. You want to see success and prosperity? The wicked I've just described are the prosperous ones. These are just my own words, a condensation of this portion here. It's as though he puts the ungodly on a pedestal and holds them up as to how good life is for those who don't fear God. But I'm down here wallowing around in the pig pen. I'm wondering if life is worth it. If serving the Lord is worth it, trying to live a holy life, all the sacrifice it takes. Is it worth it? It appears that the psalmist is about ready to give up. I think we can all identify with the discouragement that the psalmist has faced here. Let's pick up in verse 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast laden. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee? My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. So the psalm here takes a drastic turn, and we see that his perspective has changed. We see that's what happens when he went into the sanctuary of God. When he went to worship God, then he had understanding, a better understanding. How does our perspective change? There are many times in life when our perspective changes. Maybe it's when we realize that we're a sinner and we need Christ and we are in need of salvation. Maybe it's getting married or becoming a parent for the first time or making new friends. Maybe it's visiting another culture and seeing the differences there. Many things affect our perspective. And we see how the psalmist's perspective has shifted here. I'm going to share an example of how perspective changes things. A number of years ago, the Cosmosphere out here in Hutchinson showed a production called To Fly. I don't know if anyone of you remember that film. But in that film, there's a man in a hot air balloon. He's apparently the first time he's going up. He gets in the basket and there's locals around him and they're all cheering him on. So he gets up in this hot air balloon and he starts going up. And they're cheering for him as he goes up. And after a close call with a church steeple, he gets on his way and goes up to a height, I don't know, probably a couple hundred feet. He starts flying around. He flies over a forest, and he can look down and see that. He sees a young couple there sharing a tender moment. And as he continues, he flies over a river. And it's a peaceful-looking river, and there's a man on a canoe down there. But something changes in the scene as the man in balloon looks downstream. He sees this peaceful river turn into a roaring waterfall. So he shouts a warning to the man in the canoe to change course, get to shore. And so the man does, just in time, disaster is averted. So we see how a perspective, getting up in that balloon, changed that man's perspective. He could see things that other people couldn't see. He could see the danger that other people couldn't see. And I think that's how it is for us. When we worship God, we get our perspective on the eternal. We get our perspective where it needs to be. We realize that the wicked are headed for certain destruction. We realize that God's judgment on the wicked is sure and sudden. We're repentant for our sins and grieve for failing to see life clearly. We recognize God's mercy and guidance. We recognize His eternal reward in heaven. God is our ultimate treasure, and there is nothing but God that can truly satisfy our soul. These are just some thoughts I'm gleaning from the last portion of the chapter here. Maybe it's time for us to see life from God's perspective again, to ponder eternity and the shortness of life. We can look around us and see the cares of life, but it's time to get our perspective on God and eternity. And I hope that happens when we gather together today. We can get a perspective on God and eternity and realize that this life is not the end of everything. So with these thoughts in mind, let's bow for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your love to us, and we thank you for each one here. We thank you for your provision and the way you care for each one of us. We pray your blessing on this service. Bless the Sunday school hour and the teachers. Pray for your blessing on the Sunday school discussion. Bless the one who has the message. Just pray that this could be a time of growth and enrichment for each one of us. Thank you again for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.